and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told them. That's our goal this evening, to glorify and praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's go to Him now, ask that He get the glory for our time together this evening. Father, we love You. We thank You so much that You gave the greatest gift, Your one and only Son. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I pray that this evening would be centered on Your Son, Jesus. I pray that You would get all the glory and praise. I pray that every song, every scripture, everything that's said and done here would just focus our hearts in the right place. And we thank You for this great gathering together, this time of worship. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Stand together as we sing.
Special story time. Anywhere you want. All right, you guys excited about Christmas tomorrow? Yeah, I know, me too. And tonight we get to come and celebrate the most exciting gift, the gift of Jesus. So I want to read a story to you guys called The Legend of the Candy Cane. Go ahead. One dreary evening in the depths of November, a stranger rode into town. He stopped his horse in front of a lonely storefront. The windows were boarded shut and the door was locked fast. But the man looked at it, smiled, and said, "It will do." All through the short gray days and long dark nights of November, the man worked. The townspeople could hear the faint pam, pam, pam of his hammer and the snish, snish, snish of his saw. They could smell the sweet, clean scent of the new lumber and the deep, oily smell of new paint. But no one knew who the man was or what he was doing. The mayor hoped the man was a doctor to heal his illness. The young wives hoped he was a tailor to make beautiful dresses. The farmers hoped he was a trader to exchange their grain for goods. But the children had the strongest, deepest wish, a wish they did not tell their parents, a deep, quiet, secret wish that none of them said out loud. No one spoke to the man. No one asked if he needed help. They just waited and watched and wondered and wished. But one small girl watched and wondered, waited and wished longer than she could stand. And one snowy day, she knocked at the stranger's door. "Hello," she said. "My name is Lucy. Do you need some help?" The man smiled warmly and nodded. Then he opened the door and Lucy stepped inside. A long counter ran down the side of the room. Bare shelves filled the opposite walls. In the back were dozens of barrels and crates. "Could you help me unpack?" the man asked. Lucy's heart sank at the sight of all the boxes. What if they were only barrels of nails and bags of flour? But she removed her dripping boots and hung her coat on a peg. On stocking feet, she crossed the rough wooden floor and knelt beside a crate. "Please, open it," the man urged. Slowly, Lucy put her hand into the box and pulled out an object wrapped in tissue. Round and heavy, it almost slipped through her fingers. Lucy trembled a little as she unwrapped it. It was a glass jar. Lucy gave the man a puzzled look. "Go on," his nod said. So she unpacked another glass jar and another until she was completely surrounded by jars of all shapes and sizes. Tall and thin, round and squat, jars with lids and jars without. "Now," the man said, "for something to put inside." And he pulled over a huge crate stamped with a strange word. Confections is the word on the crate. As Lucy unwrapped, her eyes lit up. It was candy, her favorite, gumdrops. "Try some," the man said. She popped one in her mouth. Now she could hardly unwrap fast enough. Peppermint sticks, taffy, lollipops, chewing gum. Wide-eyed, she looked at the man. "We wished," Lucy said. "Yes, I know," said the man. "And here it is. Welcome to Sunniman's Candy Store. I am John Sunniman." Soon the small store was filled with candies gleaming in their glass jars. Raspberry suckers and tiny lemon drops, brightly colored jawbreakers and long tangles of licorice, pink and white peppermints for church and butterscotch balls for company. Then, in the very last package, in the very last crate, was a candy Lucy had never seen before. A red and white striped candy stick with a crook on the end. "What is this?" Lucy asked. "This," Mr. Sunniman explained, "is a candy cane. It is a very special Christmas candy." "Why?" Lucy asked. "Tell me," Mr. Sunniman said, "what letter does it look like?" Lucy took the candy cane and turned it in her hand. "J," she said. "Yes," Mr. Sunniman smiled. "J for Jesus, who was born on Christmas Day." "Now, turn it over. What does it remind you of?" Lucy turned the candy in her hand. She peered down intently. "I know," she said finally. "It's like a shepherd's staff." "Who were the first to find out about Jesus' birth?" Mr. Sunniman asked. Shepherds in the field, Lucy answered, watching over their flocks by night. But Mr. Sonneman, what are the stripes for? Lucy asked. The man's eyes grew sad. The prophet Isaiah said, by his stripes we are healed. Before he died on the cross, Jesus was whipped. He bled terribly. The red reminds us of his suffering and his blood. But then, Mr. Sonneman continued, the candy is white as well. When we give our lives to Jesus, his blood washes away our sins, making us white and pure as snow. That, he said, is the story of the candy cane. Is it a secret? Lucy asked. Mr. Sonneman looked at her for a long moment. It's a story that needs to be told, he said. Will you help me share it? It was now the depths of December. The town was whipped round by blizzard winds. For days, the sun hid itself. But every morning, Mr. Sonneman and Lucy ventured out. They wore heavy woolen coats and bright henknit scarves. And in their stiff, mittened fingers, they each held a bag. They went to every house in town. They traveled to every farm in the country. They knocked on every door. In every home, they told the story. They left a small gift, and they gave an invitation. On the afternoon of Christmas Eve, the sun finally broke through the clouds, and Sonneman's candy store officially opened. The mayor came, feeling better than he'd felt in days. The young wives came, dressed in beautiful smiles. The farmers came, eager to trade their grain for Christmas gifts. The children ran in dizzy circles. Yes, their wish had come true. Yes, they had come to share in the opening of the candy store. But they shared something more, something bigger, something better. On that Christmas Eve, they shared the story of the candy cane. They told the miracle of Christ's birth, the misery of his death, and the mercy of his love. So I'm going to give you guys a candy cane in just a second. And you can't open it till your parents tell you you can. But hopefully that as we read that story, maybe now when you think about it. So what letter does it look like?
J,
which stands for?
Jesus,
who was born on Christmas Day. And then when we do it like this, it looks like a? A shepherd's staff who heard about Jesus first. And Jesus is also our good shepherd. And so we get to come here tonight and celebrate the birth of Jesus because he came and then he grew up and he died on the cross and rose again so that we can have a relationship with him. So that's the most important thing about Christmas. So maybe now when you guys see a candy cane, you'll think about that and you can even tell someone else. So you guys did a great job. Thanks for listening. All right, help me.
At this time, we're going to go ahead and prepare to take communion. So if you want to go ahead and remove the lid, and remember that in your lid is also the cracker, so we can kind of get all the noisy part out of the way as we prepare to take part in communion. This morning, we sang the hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And as that song was played, and as we sang, the words stood out to me in a fresh way this morning. In that hymn it says, Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in these tonight. As we sang those words this morning, it hit me in a very fresh way just how dark our world truly is. The war going on in Ukraine, the war going on in Israel, many things within our own communities, so many different things happening to so many different people across the world that breaks our hearts. All this shows the darkness of sin and the consequences of sin. We see the darkness of sin in this world, but ultimately it reminds us of the darkness of the sin that lies within our own hearts. However, that's why Christ came. And so Christ came to be the light, to cast out darkness. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:6, For God who said, Let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is why we hear, even in the midst of the war in Ukraine, we hear people being saved and the church growing. We hear people stepping up and serving and ministering to those people in Israel, and people, the church across the world, serving and helping those in need. And this is why we share the gospel, the truth of Christ's death for our sins, His burial and His resurrection, the light that is the light to a very dark world. As John 1:4-5 tells us, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light of the world came to save us from our sins by giving His body and shedding His blood. So tonight, we remember Jesus said, This is my body for you, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And as we partake in the bread, we remember Jesus gave His body to take our punishment, the punishment for our sin. And then Jesus said, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We remember that He shed His blood. He gave His life for us. He paid the payment that you and I could not pay. In Isaiah 53:5, we're reminded, But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. The sweet little baby that Mary held and kissed would one day bring light to this world by being pierced for our sins. Joseph's son, whom he held with great pride and joy, would bring light to the world by facing the darkness and going to the cross. So tonight, as we get ready to partake in communion, 1 Corinthians 11:27-28 remind us, So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. This is a reminder. We are to enter into this time seriously as we partake in communion. So I'd like to give us all a moment to stop and to reflect and examine our hearts. Make sure there's no unconfessed sin between us and the Lord. Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, and we do come before you, and we ask that you would forgive us of our sin. Lord, we know we sin in our spirit and our attitudes, the thoughts and desires of our hearts, Lord, which then proceed out to our words and to our actions. Lord, we ask that you forgive us for how we sin individually, how we sin corporately. Lord, we ask that you'd forgive us. Lord, as we come to this time of communion, Lord, we want to have pure hands, pure hearts before you, Lord, so that we might take in a worthy manner and show you the glory, the honor, the reverence that you deserve. And Lord, we pray that you'd be honored and glorified as we get ready to
take part in the bread and the blood. Father, we ask that you would just help us to stop and to remember, even here at Christmas, why you ultimately came, why your Son left the throne room of heaven to become a baby. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you for giving your body and for shedding your blood for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 11:24, we read, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Jesus went on to say, "In the same way, after supper, he took a cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Here at Christmas, we celebrate the advent or the coming of Jesus, the light of the world. And tonight, as we partook in communion, we praise God, we worship Him, for Jesus came to be our Savior. He gave His body to be the take the punishment for our sin. And He shed His blood for the forgiveness of our sins. However, we know that we now have the light of the gospel, the light of Jesus Christ in us, and we are to allow that light to shine in us. So as we go out throughout the rest of this evening, tomorrow, this week, may we let that light shine in our spirit, in our attitude, in our words, and our love for others as we seek to remind people that Jesus is coming back again as our conquering King. And He's going to wipe out all sin and all darkness. So that's why Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 11:26, "Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." So we look forward to that day, that second coming when He will come back. We know the church will be raptured up with Him. And then after a period of time, we know that all His people will come back with Him as He sets up His millennial reign here on earth. And we look forward to that time. We'll see our Savior face to face. And He wipe out sin and death and darkness once and for all. At this time, Pastor Jim's going to come and share an Advent devotion with us.
The night Jesus was born, Dan read earlier, the proclamation of His birth was given to shepherds. I always found that interesting. Not to dignitaries, not to kings or men of power or prestige or wealth, but to shepherds. Now, some folks have had very little good things to say about shepherds. They're dirty. They smell. They're rough people. They're on the bottom rung of society. But I want us to take another look at shepherds and who they really are. And I think why God chose to make that proclamation to shepherds. First thing we see that shepherds are journeymen. They must travel long distances at times to keep their sheep well fed and watered. They must dress the wounds of their sheep. They must keep a good count of them. They can't afford to lose any. And so they're very careful that they don't lose any of their flock. They are warriors. They protect their sheep from predators. A good shepherd will stand between the sheep and a predator, and he will give his life for a sheep. And when you think about it, who did God choose to free His people from bondage in Egypt? He chose Moses. Moses the shepherd. Not Moses the prince, but Moses the shepherd. And who did He choose to lead His people as a king? It was David, the shepherd. It was a shepherd boy that God used to kill Goliath and take that big battle on. So Jesus was born into this world in a cathedral of shepherds, not the palaces of power. A place where shepherds felt at ease, born into their domain. They could not have been put off by the smell and the animals, and the simplicity of His birth. Jesus, the journeyman shepherd, who left heaven to come and seek out and rescue lost sheep. He left those safe in paradise to come and seek us. He, the journeyman shepherd, called us into his sheepfold when he says, "Come unto me, all who labor, and I will give you rest." He leads us to paths of goodness where he feeds us himself, the bread of life, and gives us living water. And on a journey to the Father's sheepfold, he says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He bandages up the hurts and scars of life. And at the end, he stands at the door of the Father's sheepfold and he says, "Father, we have arrived. All that you gave me, I have kept." And the Father says to the sheep, "You may enter my fold through the journeyman shepherd of my Son. And there we will rest. And we are fed and we remain in the Father's sheepfold forever." Jesus said of himself, "I am the good shepherd." And the warrior shepherd would give his life for the sheep. The baby in a manger, surrounded by his own kind. He was born among shepherds. Shepherds who did not reject him, but pursued him and worshiped him. The journeyman shepherd who came to save lost sheep. A shepherd born among shepherds. Makes sense, doesn't it? Moses to David to Jesus. All shepherds on a rescue mission. So let's rejoice tonight with the heavenly host, giving praise to our journeyman, warrior, shepherd, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending us your great shepherd to seek us out, to find us, to bring us to your sheepfold, and to bring us to your sheepfold, whole and well, through his death, burial, and resurrection. And Father, we thank you for this great shepherd. May we rejoice in him tonight. In his name we pray. Amen.
As you go out this evening, there are a couple of plastic totes that you can drop these in, one going out the center, one going out the side. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him, male and female, He created them. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. The God of this world has blinded their minds to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
together if we can.
For the first.